From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
The thoughts and the prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama, who was in Havana at a scheduled TV broadcast to the Cuban people, which opened with an offer of condolences after a set of coordinated terror attacks in the European Union's capital killed at least 34 and left dozens more injured after blasts at the airport and metro system in Brussels.
We stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. And this is yet another reminder that the world must unite. We must be together, regardless of nationality or race or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world.
The blasts rocked the departure hall of Brussels' Zaventem Airport and city metro stations. The city of Brussels was in lockdown following the explosions. Security was reportedly tightened across the EU in response to the blasts. Here in the U.S., a massive security presence was reported in New York City, with a report of soldiers in full combat black with flak vests, helmets, and machine guns at subway stops in Brooklyn and elsewhere, with no photography allowed. There were also reports of heightened security in Washington, D.C., and many other major American cities. There are concerns among immigrant communities and communities of color inside the EU countries over yet another round of political, social, and physical attacks after the bombings in Brussels. We spoke with London-based journalist and activist Sukant Chandon about that via Skype Tuesday.
I lived in Belgium for over a year, about a decade ago, and I stayed actually on the edge of the ghetto Molenbeek in Brussels, which is a mostly working-class Moroccan ghetto, quite close to the center of Brussels. So I know the Belgian kind of body politic and atmosphere, etc., quite well. And I look not too dissimilar as a North African myself. White Belgians, not all of them, obviously. There's some decent white Belgians, obviously. But, you know, there's a massive amount of racism in Belgium. And they'll talk to you, if you're from Africa, like literally like you're a child who can hardly speak Flemish or French, the two languages, official languages of Belgium. So there's a lot of discrimination there. You know, Molenbeek is a very depressing place, deprived of resources, just very depressed places. So they're fertile ground for these opportunists who use and abuse Islam to recruit. And that's been an ongoing problem in Belgium for a while, as it has been in most Western European countries. Mm. Now, the response of Belgium will be dependent on who exactly are identified by the authorities as the attackers at the metro station near the European Union headquarters and the Brussels airport. Now, there's an indication that there might be foreign nationals who have not resided and grown up in Belgium. If there are perhaps are second or third generation Moroccans in Belgium, then obviously the Moroccan community in Belgium will be under a increased and greater amount of racist oppression. So I think we have to wait and see what transpires.
Yeah, and also, if they turn out to be foreign nationals, then you have the whole demonization of refugees that's been ongoing there.
Our people are, and I don't want to use right. any profanity, but we're basically screwed if it is, and if we're screwed if it isn't.
So
we have to come to the defense of each other. You know, second, third immigrant communities here have to come to the defense of the new immigrants, and vice versa. That's the situation we're facing.
Yeah. Belgium is an interesting place in the annals of colonialism and imperialism anyway. For such a small country, it had a huge footprint in terms of mass murder and such in places like the Congo.
What exactly? I mean, what they did in Congo was pretty horrific. I mean, the Germans, the British, the Spanish, the French, particularly the British and the French did equally horrific things across Africa and the colonially oppressed people. But yes, Belgium in what it did to Congo was absolutely horrific. The mutilation of limbs of our people in Congo, the type of oppression, you know, unlike the British, and less so the French, but particularly the British, unlike the British, the Belgians developed no colonial infrastructure in Congo. It was just pure looting. The British developed some infrastructure, some railways, some civil service, etc., to develop their colonial strategy, but Belgium didn't do that. And the other point I'd like to make about Belgium, which is, again, similar for most Western, so-called Western countries, is that I know former comrades and brothers, sisters of mine in Belgium. And I say former because, like so many of us, we fell out with each other at the start of the Arab Sting. And these were comrades that I considered pretty solid militant anti-imperialists until the Arab Sting. And then they championed the NATO destruction of first Libya and then Syria. I remember actually on the front page of a newspaper over here in the UK during the bombing of Libya that the Belgian military and government had released some footage of them doing a so-called quote-unquote surgical strike against a target in Libya. And then I thought, isn't it crazy where we've come, where my former comrades are basically in an open alliance? They wouldn't like to admit it, but they are supporting people shooting down the Jamhuriya in Libya, and NATO are doing all the heavy lifting for them from the skies. So what we're seeing in Brussels is none other than the Arab Sting, or as the West and people called it, the Arab Spring, arriving in Brussels. So I say to my comrades, well, my former comrades in Brussels, you championed this in Libya and Syria. Now it's come to your doorstep. How come you're not championing it now? Is it that which is meted out to our people is the fragrant, perfumed Arab Spring? But when the same thing comes in a much smaller scale, when it hits Paris or Brussels or London, then it becomes a murderous terrorist act. You know, we really have to raise this hypocrisy. It's disgusting.
What kind of work are you doing in and around London, or do you see needs to be done in the aftermath of this, which is, again, going to bring another response from both the dominant culture and the state?
Well, quite, you know, our struggle is globalized. So whatever happens in one place affects other places. And, you know, when there's a terrorist attack in the West generally, or in West Europe, if it, you know, when Paris happened, it had a direct impact on Islamophobia and anti-Muslim hate crime and racism in general in the UK. So in the aftermath of these things, it's really important that communities banded together, look out for each other very vigilantly. And I mean, in public, you look out for each other, particularly our sisters with any kind of head cover. We need to look out for each other. If anyone is aggressed, we need to literally stand shoulder to shoulder physically. I'm not saying people throw punches, but sometimes we need to throw punches as well. I'm not going to shy away from that. If our sisters are physically attacked, we need to defend them. And so I think it's a case of defending each other and also publicizing and making sure the authorities and advocacy organizations are developing the casework when we are victims, which we will be increased. It will spike after this when we're victims of our race hate crimes.
And I want to explore a little more the idea that the oppression of these communities, in, you know, basically the desperation that exists in many of these communities across Europe, is you know, being farmed, or in any event is available to be farmed by people like Wahhabists.
Yeah. I think there's one important thing I'd like to state just before I make the other substantive contribution to your question, brother, is that it's not a simple case that people are oppressed and exploited, put into ghettos, and then they somehow automatically are open to joining Al-Qaeda and Arab Peninsula or Nusra or Daesh. It doesn't quite work like that.
Agreed.
Yeah. And myself and Dan Glazebrook and Saqib Deshmukh, there's only two or three of us who have campaigned for the last 5 years against what was known as collusion in the British colonialism's activities in the occupied six counties in Ireland. It's basically how the British state and as the United States state had colluded with and collaborated with death squads in Latin America, Ireland, and now the Muslim world. So it's all been facilitated. Now, the Belgian authorities may not have as good a military intelligence community and capacity as, for example, the United States or the United Kingdom. So, you know, some people could perhaps, you know, slip through their fingers, etc. But I think we have to be a little bit honest and just understand that, you know, Belgium is a very small country. Brussels is a population of 1 million. you know, when you're in Brussels, it's, you know, you quickly know communities very well. You can walk around Brussels. You don't need to catch a bus. It's a very small place. And I'm very surprised if the military intelligence organizations of Belgium, in coordination, which they have been with France and probably other European Union countries, are not very well aware of the machinations and movements and organization of the supremacist death squads known as Daesh or Al-Qaeda in Arab Peninsula, Nusra, within their own communities. I think they are aware of it. And also, as I referenced before, Belgium facilitated, as is the UK and France. It was under their watch that hundreds, if not thousands, of young people have left West Europe to join Daesh and to fight in Syria and Iraq and other countries. So the collusion has to be kind of zoned into and understood and popularized. Very few people are working on this issue. But at the same time, yes, if you've got no prospects of employment, if you're humiliated on a daily basis in life, which young people are in Belgium much more than in London. London is like a, you know, it's like we're liberated here compared to Belgium. Belgium's a horrific place when it comes to racism. You know, the cops will openly call you monkeys on the street, you know, if you're North African or African. So if you've got no prospects, if you're humiliated, if you're living in a ghetto, then these guys come along, you know. I mean, if you're living in Tunisia or anywhere in the global south in our homelands, you know, you've got no money. But then these guys say, look, you get a couple of $100 every month. You can have all the loot, all the women to sexually assault that you like. You'll be fighting for God, supposedly, and you'll go to heaven, etc. That sounds like a pretty good prospect rather than literally hanging on the corner smoking hash all day, because that's the only thing that you think is available to you.
The situation in Syria appears to have stabilized, and perhaps at some point in the near future, or in any event, the intermediate future, you'll see people, you know, deciding to be repatriated and to turn around and go back from Europe. But the legacy of the response, essentially, by the European nations, the pressures on the EU, the building of fences, the racist rhetoric and political activity, is still going to be a legacy there. I'm wondering how would one struggle against that once the initial stimulation of it by the arrival of so many people has abated, if that happens.
Well, it's not just a legacy that as you know from what's happening in the United States, that imperialism is using its actions in Syria and Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and further afield. It's a conceptual oppression. It's not just a physical oppression. It's, you know, it exists in the realm of politics. You know, there's hardly any Syrian refugees or Libyan refugees in the United States. It doesn't stop Donald Trump and other people for using and abusing this issue to ratchet up fascist ideas and movements. So that's what's going on. Imperialism is going deeper into crisis right now. It's losing its world hegemonic position incrementally and historically by the BRICS and allied forces. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and other allied groups. So their moment of total world domination is slipping. It's coming to an end, and as it's coming to an end, its markets for exploitation contracts. It relies more on the more parasitic elements of its political economy, which is things like the military-industrial complex, the prison system, things like in the economic realm, things like the casino economy, just developing credit that doesn't exist in actuality. So as it goes deep into this crisis, people get angry, people get poorer. And to deflect people away from getting angry at the actual system and people that are responsible for their plight, the system diverts us into attacking each other. And a foremost way of doing that is not only sexism, but white supremacy, is to make people think that they're white, this concept of whiteness, that they're in the club of imperialism, and they've got to keep this great black and brown unwashed out of getting a few crumbs from the imperialist table. And the central way to do that, as I said, is racism, white supremacy, and this what I call the new fascism. The new fascism is central tenet is putting undue responsibility and onus and onto migrants and refugees who are racialized, and basically just means black and brown people, non-white people. So we have to contend these things on the conceptual political realm and in the physical realm as well. In the physical realm, there's very little resistance. There's a lot of spontaneous resistance, but it's not strategic. But if we zoom out, if we see the long-term struggle, we're winning. People are coming here in greater and greater numbers from the global south as a result of imperialism, colonialism, oppression. On the global level, the BRICS are slowly pushing US and other imperialisms off the face of the planet. So when we look at it intergenerational, in the context of decades and centuries, everything's going fine. But right now, things are not looking good, and they're going to get worse before I think we're going to see any improvement.
President Obama's visit to Havana wrapped up after he delivered a half-hour address Tuesday to the Cuban people over national television. That followed a joint press conference Monday, which was opened by the following address made by Cuba's President Raul Castro.
Señor Presidente Barack Obama.
Mr. President Barack Obama.
Nos complace recibirlo.
We are pleased to welcome you on this, the first visit of a President of the United States of America to our country in 88 years. We have observed that in the 15 months that have passed since the decision was made to establish our diplomatic relations, we have obtained concrete results. We were able to resume direct postal exchanges, and we signed an agreement to resume commercial flights.
Suscribimos dos memorándums de entendimiento sobre protección de medio ambiente y áreas marinas y otro para mejorar la seguridad de la navegación marítima.
The safety of
hoy se firmará
navigation.
Uno más.
Today another one will
sobre
be signed.
Cooperación en la agricultura.
On cooperation in the area of agriculture.
Actualmente
at the moment,
se está negociando otro grupo de instrumentos
bilaterales
para cooperar en esferas como el enfrentamiento al narcotráfico, la seguridad del comercio y de los viajeros, y la salud. Sobre esta última, hemos acordado profundizar la colaboración en la prevención y tratamiento de enfermedades transmisibles como el Zika,
such as Zika
y de enfermedades crónicas no
transmisibles, chronic diseases,
incluyendo el cáncer.
Cancer included.
Esta cooperación es beneficiosa no solo para Cuba y los Estados Unidos, sino también para nuestro hemisferio.
But also for our hemisphere at large.
A partir de las decisiones adoptadas por el presidente Obama
made by President
para modificar
Obama
la aplicación de algunos
to
aspectos
the
del bloqueo,
of some aspects of the blockade,
empresas cubanas y sus contrapartes
Cuban
estadounidenses
and their American counterparts
trabajan en la identificación de posibles operaciones comerciales
possible commercial operations
que se pudieran concretar
that could materialize
en el marco aún restrictivo
in the still restrictive framework
en vigor
of existing regulations.
Algunas se han materializado especialmente en el área de las telecomunicaciones, ámbito en el que nuestro país cuenta con un programa basado en sus prioridades de desarrollo y en la necesaria soberanía tecnológica que garantiza el uso apropiado de estas al servicio de los intereses nacionales. También se avanza en negociaciones para la adquisición
progress
de medicamentos, equipos médicos y equipamiento
medical material
para generación de energía y protección del medio ambiente, entre otros.
These among others.
Mucho más pudiera hacerse si se levantara el
much
bloqueo de los Estados Unidos.
If the US blockade were lifted.
Reconocemos la posición del presidente
we
Obama
recognize the position of President Obama and his administration against the blockade
y los reiterados llamados que ha hecho al Congreso
and his repeated appeals
para que
to Congress to have it removed.
Las últimas medidas adoptadas por su gobierno
the most son recent measures adopted by his administration are positive,
pero no suficientes.
But insufficient.
Intercambié con el presidente sobre I otras medidas que pensamos with the president pueden tomarse
steps that we think
para eliminar restricciones aún vigentes y hacer un importante contribución
and
al desmantelamiento
to the debunking of the blockade.
Eso, esto es esencial porque el bloqueo
this is
continúa en vigor
because the blockade remains
y tiene componentes disuasivos
and because it contains discouraging elements and intimidating effects and extraterritorial outreach.
Sobre lo cual le puse algunos ejemplos al
presidente
para mostrarle sus consecuencias negativas para Cuba y otros estados.
For both Cuba and other countries.
El bloqueo es el obstáculo más importante para nuestro desarrollo económico y el bienestar del pueblo cubano. Por eso, su eliminación será esencial para normalizar las relaciones bilaterales. También será beneficioso
and
para
actually,
la inmigración cubana
benefits
que desea lo mejor para sus familias
who the best
y
for
sus
their
países.
And their country.
Para avanzar hacia la normalización
in order
también
to move
será necesario que se devuelva el territorio ilegalmente ocupado por la base naval de
Guantánamo.
Ambos temas por ser los principales obstáculos fueron abordados una vez más en el editorial publicado el 9 de marzo pasado en el órgano oficial del Partido Comunista de
Cuba
y hace solo 4 días en la conferencia de prensa de nuestro canciller Bruno Rodríguez Padilla ampliando ampliamente divulgado por la prensa. Asimismo, otras políticas debieran ser suprimidas para que pueda haber relaciones normales entre Cuba y los Estados Unidos. No debiera pretenderse para ello que el pueblo cubano renuncie al destino que libre y soberanamente escogido y por el que ha hecho inmensos sacrificios. Intercambiamos además sobre temas internacionales
We also discussed international
en particular
issues,
aquellos que pudieran afectar la paz, y la estabilidad regional. Especialmente estaba previsto y no hubo tiempo para concluirlo.
To discuss other issues, but we
did
not have enough time. I had planned
por la
to raise our concern over the destabilization
que se intenta fomentar
some are trying to promote in Venezuela,
lo cual es contraproducente para
which we consider to be counterproductive to the overall situation in the continent. I did not have the chance to raise it with them.
Igualmente,
I'm raising it here.
Dialogamos sobre
Likewise,
la marcha del
we
proceso
talked
de paz
about
en Colombia,
the peace process in Colombia
para poner fin a este conflicto.
To put an end to that conflict.
Existen profundas diferencias
There are profound
entre
differences
nuestros
between
países
our countries
que no van
that
a
will
desaparecer.
Not go away.
Pues tenemos concepciones distintas
Since we hold different
sobre
concepts
muchos temas
on many subjects,
como los modelos políticos,
such as political systems,
la democracia,
democracy,
el ejercicio de los derechos
the
humanos,
exercise of human rights,
la justicia social,
social justice,
las relaciones internacionales,
international relations,
la paz y la estabilidad
and world
mundial.
Peace and stability.
Defendemos los derechos humanos.
We defend human rights.
Consideramos que los derechos civiles,
view,
políticos,
civil,
económicos, sociales y culturales son indivisibles, interdependientes y universales.
And universal.
No concebimos
Actually,
que un gobierno no defienda y garantice el derecho a la salud, la educación,
right
la seguridad social,
social security,
a la alimentación y al desarrollo,
food provision
el
and
salario igual por equal trabajo pay, igual y los derechos
and
de
the
los
rights
niños.
Of children.
Nos oponemos we a la manipulación política y el doble rasero
sobre
los derechos
in
humanos.
The to human rights.
Cuba tiene mucho que decir y que mostrar
Cuba
en esta materia y por ello le reiteré al
that
presidente nuestra disposición a mantener el diálogo que iniciamos.
Moving forward with the dialogue on this matter.
El pasado 17 de diciembre del 2014,
on December 17th,
cuando anunciamos 2014, la decisión de restablecer las relaciones diplomáticas expresadas, debemos aprender el arte de convivir de forma civilizada con nuestras diferencias.
In a civilized manner.
El 15 de julio del 2015, ante nuestro
in my
Parlamento, señalé
July 15, 2015,
cambiar
I said,
todo lo que deba ser cambiado es asunto soberano y exclusivo de los cubanos. El gobierno revolucionario tiene la disposición de avanzar en la normalización de las relaciones, convencido de que ambos países podemos cooperar y coexistir civilizadamente en beneficio mutuo por encima de las diferencias que tenemos y seguramente tendremos y contribuir con ello a la paz, la seguridad, la estabilidad, el desarrollo y la equidad en nuestro continente
in our continent
y el mundo.
And around the world.
Hoy ratifico
today,
que debemos poner en
I reaffirm
práctica el arte de la convivencia civilizada, que implica
which involves
aceptar y respetar las diferencias
and respecting differences,
y no hacer de ellas el centro
and preventing
de nuestra
these
relación,
from becoming the center of
sino
our relationship.
Promover vínculos que privilegien el beneficio de ambos países y pueblos
both our countries and peoples,
y concentrarnos en lo que nos acerca
while focusing
y no
on those
en lo
things
que
that
nos
bring
separa.
Us closer and not on those that pull us apart.
Coincidimos en que nos queda por delante un largo y complejo camino por recorrer. Pero lo importante es que hemos comenzado a dar pasos para construir una relación de nuevo tipo como la que nunca ha existido entre Cuba y los Estados Unidos. Destruir un puente
actually,
es fácil
destroying a bridge can be
y requiere poco tiempo.
And quick undertaking.
Reconstruirlo
however,
sólidamente
it's solid reconstruction
es una tarea de mucho
can
más
prove a lengthy
y larga, es
and
mucho
challenging,
más larga y difícil.
A lengthy and challenging endeavor.
Después de cuatro intentos fallidos,
after four failed attempts,
en una muestra de voluntad y perseverancia, el 2 de septiembre del 2013, la nadadora estadounidense Diana
American swimmer
Nayad,
Diane Nayad
logró cruzar a nado el estrecho de la Florida
swimming
sin jaula
without an anti-shark cage to protect her.
Para esa hazaña,
for that exploit,
de vencer la distancia que separa geográficamente a nuestros países,
between our two countries,
o por esa hazaña, el 30 de agosto del 2014,
that on August 30th,
bajo los acordes de los signos nacionales de Cuba y los Estados Unidos,
were played,
fue condecorada con la Orden al Mérito Deportivo otorgado por el Consejo de Estado cubano.
A decoration awarded by the State Council.
Esta proeza contiene un fuerte
mensaje.
Debería servirnos
one
de ejemplo
serve as an example
para las relaciones bilaterales, ya que confirma que si ella pudo,
that if she
entonces
could do it,
nosotros también podremos.
We can do it too.
Le reitero al presidente
Obama
nuestro agradecimiento por su visita
for his visit
y la voluntad del gobierno
and the
de Cuba
of the government
de seguir avanzando en los próximos meses por el bien
in the
de nuestros pueblos
for the
y well-being
of our peoples and countries. Thank you very much.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. for Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.